The views and opinions expressed on this program are not those of the station, but of the sponsor, the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce.
Welcome back to the Chamber Connection. I'm Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce on a beautiful Chamber of Commerce Monday morning. The weather outside is fantastic. Welcome to fall. Welcome to a new work week. And I'd like to welcome our guest today. He is a man who knows the numbers about our economy here in Florida and really across the country. He is Dr. Jerry Parrish. He's the chief economist for the Florida Chamber Foundation. Dr. Parrish, welcome to the Chamber Connection.
Good morning, Todd. Good to be with you guys.
Yeah, no, really appreciate you coming on the show today and sharing some knowledge with us. First of all, tell us a little bit about your background and the work you do for the Florida Chamber Foundation.
All right, I'm the chief economist and director of research at the Florida Chamber Foundation. I actually spent a bunch of years in the private sector before going back to school a little bit later in life and getting a PhD when I was 38 years old. And since then, I've gotten, I've spent more time in the private sector in international manufacturing companies. But for the last 10 years or so, I've done a lot of policy analysis stuff. First at Florida Tax Watch, I ran the Center for Competitive Florida there. And then for the last almost 7 years, I've been here at the Florida Chamber Foundation, where we do research. You know, we look. My job literally is to look 2 to 30 years into the future, come up with solutions for issues that Florida is having now and going to have in the future. And that's my job. I get up there and do that every day, and I've really enjoyed being here at the Chamber Foundation.
And I know you do some work over here with the University of West Florida as well. Talk about that a little.
Yeah, that's true. I'm the chair of the Council of Economic Advisors at the Haas Center at the University of West Florida, and I imagine most of your listeners know who the Haas Center is. Been in business about 26 years doing economic analyses, and a lot of the economic and survey work that's been done over there in Northwest Florida for the last 26 years, and very proud to be associated with that group.
So let's get right into the numbers. Talk about what you're seeing with Florida's economy. How have we responded to COVID, and how are things looking right now?
That's a great question, and certainly that's been my focus for the last 18 months or so. Remember when COVID came through, Florida lost about almost 1.3 million jobs over the period of a couple of months. And that was February through April of 2020. And so we've been rebuilding those numbers, recovering a lot of those job numbers. We did about 500,000 jobs recovered over that first couple of months as we opened back up the economy. And we've been making progress every single month. And now we're up to, I think over the past few months, we've recovered 974,300 jobs. That leaves us with a deficit of 294,900 jobs to get back to where we were before COVID. And it won't be a surprise to most people that 2 out of every 3 of those jobs are in leisure and hospitality, because we've lost mostly those international visitors, and those are the ones that stay longer and spend more. You know, before COVID, we did about 14.5 million annual visitors from other countries. And last year we did about 4.5, so we lost about 10 million of those visitors. So we really see it really matters where you are in Florida, you know, as far as your county's job numbers, and it's really highly dependent on those people that are flying in from other states and other countries. It's Orlando, it's the Miami-Dade metro area, but you got to remember, 42 of Florida's counties actually have more jobs now than they did before COVID. So it's pretty concentrated where the losses are, and the losses are mainly due to our tourism numbers.
Right, and I can tell you, you know, locally, we're having an issue with our employers finding workers in leisure and hospitality. We've got restaurants that are closing or have reduced hours. We've got hotels that are looking for staff. So it's a big issue here in Northwest Florida, and most of our most of our visitors are from drive markets. We do get a good bit of folks that fly in as well, but a lot of our folks are regional, and they drive in from other parts of the Southeast. But seeing a real issue with workers being needed, really in all the industries, but heavily in the tourism and hospitality industries.
You know, you're right, and you were talking about the drive-in traffic. That's actually helped Northwest Florida recover their jobs much quicker than the rest of the state. And in fact, we saw job actual creation. And right now, compared to COVID, Escambia County has more than 5,000 jobs more now than they did before COVID hit. And that's a 3.6% increase. That's one of the highest percentage increases of any highly populated county out there in the state of Florida. But we've got all across Northwest Florida has more jobs now than pre-COVID, and there's no other region of the state that can actually say that. That's been good for you guys. Certainly the workforce shortage we're seeing all over the state of Florida, and in a lot of cases, people have changed industries. They've gone from one industry, they've gotten some training while they were out of work for COVID, and moving into other industries and let's face it, all of them are telling me the same story. Very difficult to find workers right now. So it's not just leisure and hospitality. It's almost everything out there right now.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I hear it every single day, multiple times a day. Two things that employers are having challenges with: workers and supplies. And like you say, it's in every industry. Yeah, we see it acutely in leisure and hospitality, but it's across the board. Every business owner that I talk to, it's like, what can we do? And it's, like you say, it's not just a challenge here. It's a challenge really across the board. Talk about a little bit about what, say, Florida's economy and how we've rebounded from COVID compares to other parts of the country.
Yeah, that's a great question. Florida has certainly been one of the leaders. Given the fact that we didn't really shut down our economy except for a short period of time, that we went to a model of, opening back up where a lot of other states still stayed shut down. That has put us substantially ahead of many other parts of the country. And, when you look at it as an economist, we would have all of our jobs back if we just had more of those visitors. Now, we know people from other states are still coming, but as you know, the international visitors are still way down. But Florida's been a leader. We'll hit the full recovery. When I do my forecast, I'll come up again in January and do another economic outlook forecast. I will forecast when we'll actually get back all of the jobs we had before COVID. It'll be sometime in 2022, but I still forecast that we won't get all our leisure and hospitality jobs back until the first quarter of 2023. And that was the forecast I did this past January. So I think we're still on track for that. But remember, we actually have a couple of industries in Florida that have more jobs now than they did before COVID. Everything but leisure and hospitality is within 2% of pre-COVID levels, but we have these two: professional business services turned positive, and financial activities, and that's finance and insurance plus real estate rental and leasing. All those are back past pre-COVID levels and now are creating jobs in those categories and covering up for still some of the losses, and a lot of them are small, 1-2% losses in everything else but leisure and hospitality.
Yeah, and there was a recent article I read that actually talked about how well Pensacola has done in terms of commercial real estate and having our spaces, leased out, we are kind of in the upper portion of the country for medium-sized markets for that. And I think it's been a testament to you know, what we have to offer here and some good, strong leadership. So it's encouraging to see. Also talk about, you know, we get calls at the chamber almost every day from folks all over the country that are saying, I want to be in Northwest Florida. Send us information about your community. Talk about the inflow of folks into Florida and what that's meaning for our economy.
That's a great question, because we're in this situation now, and in a place like Pensacola that has a really good airport, you know, we're seeing people that can now have figured out they can work from anywhere moving to Florida. And I tell this story a lot. It's like, you know, what if you live in Chicago and you're working up there, but now, you know, you realize that you can work from anywhere. And a lot of people have come to that realization. A lot of bosses have come to that realization. Hey, we don't need people in here every day. So if you have a staff meeting or something you have to go to in Chicago or Raleigh or Nashville or somewhere else, you know, you can live anywhere you want to and just fly up once a month and do your staff meeting, meet the new people they've hired, help train them, and then go back home. That's opened up a lot of people that can live in Florida now. And we're seeing that happen all over the state. People have, maybe they spent some time down here while COVID was going on and came down here to escape the snow and see some of this Florida sunshine. I think Florida's going to be the biggest beneficiary of this new trend, where if you can work from anywhere, why not live in Florida? You know, no state income tax, good weather, we got great transportation, you can get anywhere in the country or in the world, from some of our great airports. And Pensacola has proven to be a really good one. Y'all have really improved that community over the last few years. It's a great place to live. That's why all those people want to move down there.
Yeah, it's really exciting to see. And, you know, with some of the industries that are developing in our community, with more of a cyber industry, they're good, high-paying jobs. They're clean jobs that are attractive. And like you say, you know, if you're working virtually and you just need a computer, then, you know, why not live in a place where, you know, you have all the amenities that we have here in Northwest Florida? It's really exciting to see. Another thing I want to touch on is we're seeing a lot more entrepreneurship here locally. A lot of folks, I think, are deciding they don't want to work for a boss or a big company any longer, and they want to chase their passion. Are you seeing that across the state as well?
I am. You know, it's spotty in different spots of the state. Certainly, there's been a lot of news about Miami and what the mayor has done recruiting some companies down there. But even before COVID, I tried to talk to people about what we need more of in Florida. And that's, training people not to work for people, but training people, you know, to create their own job. And we've got a bunch of great entrepreneurship over there in Pensacola. We've got business incubators. We've got a lot of things happening over there. And we've got, you know, great companies like IHMC, and we know what the Studers are doing, and we know what everybody's doing in the downtown area. You know, that's infectious, and having the possibility of creating a business of your own to run the way you want to has got to be an appealing thing to these folks that are that are going through school now, and even older folks. You know, your military group that tends to retire over there in Northwest Florida, you know, those are great. You know, in a lot of cases, they will have great opportunities to create their own business. We know there's plenty of investment capital out there. And I've told people for a long time that, how a community wins this economic development game is, you know, take those folks that are in the community, you know, ones recently removed in, recent retirees, recent military retirees, help, you know, them become mentors to kids that may have a great idea for a business. You know, mentors, potential investors, business partners, you know, there's a lot of opportunity there. That's how we're going to grow Florida's economy for the future, and what great opportunities that's going to provide for a lot of the folks that are already there in Pensacola.
Absolutely, and I'm glad you said that, because we are seeing a good bit of that in our community, the mentorship programs that are popping up where we're getting, you know, some military, but, you know, experienced business folks that have had success, willing to give back and meet with younger folks who are either just getting started on their professional journey, or they are breaking into entrepreneurship where they want to start their own business. So I agree completely. That's such an important component, where you can have those experienced resources that can help guide the next generation of business leaders in our community. So we've talked a lot about some great things that are happening here locally and in Florida, but there seem to be potentially maybe some headwinds that are out there. You know, inflation is an issue, and some things that are happening on the national scale. Are you seeing anything out there that might be concerns to you as we look into the end of the year and into 22?
Yeah, that's a great question. Certainly the supply chain issues that are affecting most businesses and will affect consumers as well, you know, that's driving up prices. And inflation, you know, is really a tax on lower-income people. You know, it's more of a tax on them than it is the average person. And as you know, we work here on our Prosperity Initiative that we're working for opportunity in every single zip code. So we're going to see some inflation. You know, we're already seeing some. I mean, I look at the index of used cars and transportation costs and those kind of things that really affect everyday Floridians. And it's a little daunting sometimes. That and housing prices, it's getting very difficult for, you know, maybe a young family to get into the housing market all over the country. It's not just happening here in Florida. So those are issues that we have to think about and we'll have to work on. You know, that's the biggest one that I see, you know, the shortage of workers and the uptrend in prices, you know, everything. Natural gas is up, gasoline is up, but transportation is actually one of the hidden costs that you'll see costs passed on more to consumers here lately. Those are the things I'm concerned about. But I still say that Florida is in the best seat in the House for all the way through the recovery from COVID and expanding. Remember, from 2015 to early 2020, before the pandemic hit, Florida created more than one out of every 11 jobs in this country. And that's a big deal, because Florida is only about 5% of the U.S. economy. One out of every 20 would have been average. We're creating more than one out of every 11. We'll actually return to that. And I'm confident in Florida has shown the right model for people who want to move their business here, want to create a business here, or people that just want to live here and work for somebody else. Florida's going to win on all of those three things.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's reassuring to hear that, you know, even though there are some headwinds out there, that the policies that have been enacted here in Florida and the things that are being done are, you know, helping move our businesses forward and, you know, keep our economy growing. Kind of want to pivot to a different topic, but one that you're heavily involved with there at the Florida Chamber Foundation. You have what's called the Florida 2030 initiative, and we have modeled what y'all do with that, and we'll be unveiling this next week. Our version is called Pensacola 2030. Talk about Florida 2030 and the pillars that support our economy and the resources that you have that address that.
Yeah, thanks, Todd. That's a good question. You know, we've been working on our Florida 2030 blueprint, is what we call it now. We worked on that. It's the first project that we've ever found that where people went around to all of Florida's 67 counties. We gathered more than 10,000 people live in rooms to really talk about what kind of Florida they wanted for themselves in the future. And so we came up with our Florida 2030 blueprint, and it had 39 goals in it. And it's everything from first of all, having our 100% of our kindergartners ready for kindergarten, having 100% of our third graders reading at grade level. And we all know how important that is, because kids go, you know, typically in third grade, they go from learning to read to reading to learn. but there's 39 actual goals. And I appreciate what you guys are doing in Pensacola for, as part of your 2030 Pensacola plan, because you're using our model and you have metrics that you have goals for, just like we do, and you've got those specifically made for your region. And so it's very encouraging to see what you guys are doing, because that's what needs to happen next. We've set out the levels for the statewide, all the communities like you guys that can do this and take it to the business community in your region, track those very important goals, including ones, that we may have missed that are really important to your area, like the military, and, taking those and raising awareness for the business community, which I know you're already doing, tracking those goals and putting the right people in place to meet those goals. That's exactly what we wanted everyone to do when we came out with our Florida 2030 blueprint. So I appreciate what you guys are doing over there.
Yeah, no, thank you for that. And it's a great model blueprint, like you say, to take and put in, what you need for your community. And like you said, we focus on military heavily because we are dependent on the military for a good chunk of our economy. It's about 40% here just in Escambia County. So that is important to us. And being able to put in the data that we see, start with that baseline data, a lot of it that we got from you at the Florida Chamber Foundation, and then, have these goals to shoot at. And some people might say, well, trying to get 100% of third grade reading, that's impossible. Well, maybe that seems impossible, but we're not going to shoot for anything lower than 100%, and it's not fair to the kids in our community to not do that. So we're excited about this. This is something that we'll be rolling out publicly next week, and we'll be continuing to lean on you for resources and advice, and as we move forward. It's our first time doing this, but we're very excited and appreciate the partnership with you and the Chamber Foundation.
Well, thank you for that. We're always glad to help, and great partners like you guys. I wish we had 50 more of you around the state of Florida. That would really help us drive toward these goals. And because really we're trying to provide prosperity for people in every single zip code in the state of Florida. You've seen this. We do zip code mapping here. We do our Florida Gap Map. That has not only third grade reading scores, it has child poverty rates for every single zip code in the state, and it's split out by county where you can see your region. And so we're providing the tools. We appreciate you guys picking up those tools and using them in the community. That's exactly what this thing's all about, and this is how we drive Florida forward.
Absolutely. So we've got a couple minutes left. Just kind of open it up for any general thoughts or anything else you want to share with our listeners.
Well, I encourage people to do a couple of things. One, if you're interested, every month we do a video. I do a video that's called Florida by the Numbers, and it's on the Chamber website, flchamber.com. You can just Google Florida by the Numbers. And I do a little outlook. Here's the job numbers. They always come out about the fourth Tuesday of the month is typically when they come out, because that's after the job numbers come out. You can track how your county's doing. You can go back and look for probably the last 2 years. All those videos are posted on there. And just give everybody a monthly look. It's free. You don't have to pay anything to see that. The other thing I want to talk about is what we're doing next week. We have our biggest event of the year. It's called the Future of Florida Forum, and it's put on by my organization, the Florida Chamber Foundation. And it's coming up October 27th and 28th at the Hyatt Regency Grand Cypress in Orlando. And we're going to have speakers from all over the country. We're going to be talking about the future of Florida. We're going to be talking heavily about Florida 2030. And we're going to talk about those things, what we need to do to move Florida forward. And it really is the greatest networking event in the entire state in a given year. And so I hope that some of your visitors, you know, some of your listeners are already planning on coming down there next week. I hope to see you and everybody else down there.
Yes, absolutely. And really appreciate the time today. Dr. Jerry Pierce with the Florida Chamber Foundation. Go to their website, flchamber.com, to get more information. And hope you all have a great week. Thanks for joining us on the Chamber Connection.
Thank you, Todd, so much. Hey, we've got more coming up for you, a little Monday motivation, some good news stories to share, and talk a little pumpkin carving action. But hey, let's see what's coming up in the news with Mark.